Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Open your hearts. Loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
And welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We're a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. That's how it goes. Now, Naomi, my dear.
Yes, Andrew, my dear.
Someone sent us in a voicemail question for you, or maybe just a comment. I forget exactly, but I want to play it right here up top. So let's listen to this question.
I'm ready.
Hey guys, this isn't a question, I guess it's just a comment, but I feel so deeply unsettled when the commercial for Naomi comes on, Naomi being some new television show, and I'm like, there's only one Naomi here, and it's at Paragon. Just wondering, maybe, any thoughts on that? Sign that contract. Love you.
Okay, honestly, I feel the way this person feels. Okay, deeply unsettled.
Uh-huh.
Because, first of all, you know, Naomi...
The CW show.
CW, Naomi, based on a graphic novel about a young black woman. I believe she has powers. And I said, why wasn't I called? Why wasn't I called? If not to be the titular character writer, as someone who's named Naomi, what can I bring to the table? To be... her sassy, probably auntie, because that's probably the age I'm giving off right now. I felt like we've got a show called Naomi on the CW, strong black woman, and I wasn't even brought in.
Yeah, Brian Michael Bendis. When you wrote that, did he write it? I think he wrote it.
I think he
did. When you wrote that, why did you not think of my dear wife, Naomi?
Hello?
Why did you not have Naomi a Paragon in mind when you wrote about a little black girl who has superpowers?
Okay, literally, first of all, like, I should have, first of all, written it, okay?
Yeah.
Brian Michael Bendis, I don't need you out here trying to tell my story, okay? Because I would tell it. I would tell it. Brian
Naomi
Michael
was
Bendis.
A little black girl with superpowers.
And that was getting along with white people.
Honestly, Naomi,
you should write your own comic
where that is the superpower.
That is my superpower. Oh, my God. Anyway, thank you very much, because I also, like, I'm so jelly, but I am going to watch it. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. Thank you for asking for my thoughts.
Yeah. So, Naomi, another thing, not only do we just get questions, like our voicemail filled with questions about the TV show, Naomi, we get, you know, obviously advice questions there. We get comments from listeners who have their own advice for the caller.
Yes.
And updates. Now, I wanted to, we got so many comments. So many comments. I can't play them all. We got both from Twitter and Instagram DMs and voicemails from, was it Megan Gailey's episode? What was the episode? Or Sashir? I can't remember exactly.
I think it was Sashir.
It was Sashir. It was the woman and her boyfriend broke up, and then the boyfriend, the ex-boyfriend, started dating
her neighbor.
Her neighbor in her apartment building.
Right next door.
Right next door. So many comments. So,
of course.
So I'm going to play a couple of snippets from the comments.
Okay.
And then I got to tell you, we got an update from the caller.
All right,
here's a couple of the comments.
What about I don't know, because I'm a little mean bitch, but what if she, like, I don't know, like, found a fucking hot guy, like, a vast hot guy, and, like, they just, like, she brought him back to her place, but, like, he was in on it, you know? Like, the next time, like, he's over there or whatever, like, I don't know, maybe she comes out of her apartment with some fucking hot guy. Just, like, I don't know, like, how do you think of that, motherfucker?
So,
okay, okay.
So the advice was get a hot guy.
A vaxxed hot guy,
hot guy, and make the ex-boyfriend jealous.
Exactly.
And whenever he's around, you wheel the vaxxed hot guy out.
Right. And be like, what do you think of that? Okay, we love that. That is complicated. That is theater.
What
and
do you think
I do
of
support
that?
It.
Motherfucker. All right, here's another snippet.
So make him uncomfortable. And if that doesn't work, just choose violence. I'm sure, I don't know how long you dated him for, but do you have screenshots? Do you know something embarrassing? Threaten him. Tell him he needs to leave you alone. That's your sanctuary. We're in a quarantine. You need to be comfortable in your home. So choose violence.
Okay, that person just said choose violence. And I'm obsessed with them. Uh-huh. Because it was just so bold, but also said with such a cheery tone that it was like, okay, all right. I think you mean it. I think you really mean it. Just violence.
Yeah, blackmail.
Blackmail him. You know
into
something.
Leaving the apartment building.
Honestly, it's like, yeah, get him out. Get him out.
Here's one more.
I had a situation. I dated a guy who broke up with me out of the blue. It was horrible. And then several months later, he and his dad bought the apartment buildings I was living in. So then I was having to send my rent checks to my ex-boyfriend's father. It was horrible. I was so pissed. Of course, you know, he never reached out directly to tell me that they were doing this or, you know, he would respect my space, any of that. I was livid. And ended up moving out of there, buying a house. And I kind of wanted to buy a house anyway, but I also kind of rushed that a little bit to get away from him. And I hope she doesn't do that.
Wow. 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 That's another level.
Naomi, you pulled a Kevin Arnold. You put your hands on your cheeks in surprise.
I gasped.
Is that his name? No. Who's the Kevin Arnold's from Wonder Years? Who's Macaulay Culkin?
McAllister.
Kevin McAllister.
McAllister.
You pulled a Kevin McAllister.
Because I was just so shocked. Why are these people out here? Her ex and his father bought the building she lived in. That's insane. That's insane. That feels like a Trump thing. Like Trump would do that. You know what I mean? Like, they would do that. Like, Eric Trump's exes. You know what I mean? Like, they would just, like, buy the building they lived in. It feels like that's crazy. And to never say anything. And then you have to send him rent checks? Oh, my God. Quite honestly, though, you won. I love that you were able to pivot so quickly to owning property. Okay? Someone who's like, you know what? I went from renting to owning because I had to stop.
Mm-hmm.
People are really out here being sociopaths, Andy.
I know, Naomi.
It's terrible.
Now, let's listen to the update from the original caller, from the OC.
Hey, guys. This is an update. Thank you so much for playing my question on the air. I was the girl whose ex was dating her next-door neighbor on Sashir Zameda show that you guys just played. And, I think Sashir really hit the nail right on the head when she was talking about power. Like, I just felt like he had so much power over me. But also, thank you for dragging him. That was great. I did want to clarify that I did not know who I was living next door to. I'd never met her. I met him and he met her at work. It's in medicine, so it's kind of gross and incestuous. And I didn't know that I was moving in next door to her until I met her in the hallway and then later found out that he was dating her. So, obviously, you know, I am biased and don't like him anymore. But he's not quite a psychopath. So I just thought I'd, set the record straight in that regard. Overall, I'm doing, a lot better. I'm dating a new guy and it turns out time does heal all wounds, and also maybe it's colder, so he's not coming around as often, and they're hanging out at his house, which, like, that's fine. Good riddance. Anyway, thanks so much, you guys, and thanks, Sashir, for the great advice. All right.
Okay, wow. In a way, she did what the first person suggested, got a new hot guy. Got a new hot guy over the apartment, dating someone new. We love that. But I do understand. So she was trying to clarify, it's not like he met the neighbor through her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, always had his eye on the neighbor. It all just was a terrible, gross.
It's a real Three's Company kind of.
Exactly. Exactly.
A reference everyone should get.
And I'm the old man, Mr. Roper.
You're Mr. Roper.
Doesn't Mr. Roper look like Steve Buscemi? I feel like Steve Buscemi and Mr. Roper are the same person. But
wait, which one is Mr. Roper? Is it Don Knotts or is it the other guy? Who's the other guy?
It's the other guy, Norman Fell.
Oh, Norman Fell? Hey, and of course, everyone listening instantly understands.
Or maybe I mean Ralph Furley. You guys just look up the cast of Three's Company and you're going to know which one looked like Buscemi. Okay? I'm just telling you to do that.
90% of the listeners are like, is this something from 1876? What is this? Was this entertainment in the town of Deadwood?
It was actually something we saw in a Nickelodeon. Yeah, Andrew and I.
When we first met, you had to put a, yeah. And it only cost a nickel to watch an episode of Three's Company at the Penny Arcade.
But we pivoted,
of course, the Victrola that played the music, that would cost an extra penny, and I would put Naomi on the back of my penny farthing as we drove there.
So many pennies. Penny farthing. Take the penny farthing to the Penny Arcade.
Yeah, I drove my penny farthing to the Nickelodeon when I was young.
Why are you
so
yelling?
What?
Why are you so mad about it? Oh, my God. We're off our rockers.
Do you know what I'm not mad about, though?
What? Mary?
Today's guest.
Well, come on now. This is one of the best times we've ever had. Honestly.
Old friend,
dear fave. We are talking to the hilarious, brilliant, kind Jeff Hiller. Jeff Hiller is an actor, Henny. You know him from shows like Nightcap, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Now you can see him in the new show Somebody Somewhere, which just dropped this Sunday, January 16th. It is on HBO. It stars him and Bridget Everett. Okay? It's everything you need in a program, so why don't you just get on that? Okay? I didn't mean to sound so aggressive, but I also just really want you to hear me.
No, we need this to be a hit.
We need it to be a hit. That's true.
We
do.
We want Jeff and Neil living in luxury.
And their cat, Beverly. Beverly needs luxury as well. So anyway, watch Somebody Somewhere on HBO.
And the people who made it, I've been a fan of theirs for a long time. Two of the members of this playwriting group in New York called the Debate Society.
Wow.
They were on a very early episode of Beginnings.
And was it awkward? No, I know what Beginnings is. clarified to me.
They came over to our first apartment and recorded
there. Wow.
No, I want to listen back to it the other day. I couldn't listen to too much because I'm like, ugh, this is me 10 years ago. I can't do
it.
But yeah, so I don't know. I'm very excited for this show for many reasons.
Well,
but number one is Jeff. That's why.
And you know what show I'm excited for? The show where Jeff helps us answer these people's relationship questions. So I'm going to say, roll it. Jeff Hiller, I'm so happy you're here. This is just wonderful. Sometimes we use the podcast to hang out with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those times.
Yeah.
It's very nice to be here. I'm going to switch my view to speaker so I don't have to look at my own face.
That is very healthy. That's very healthy.
I was saying that in therapy the other day where I was just like, I'm really glad that I'm minimized at the top of this thing because otherwise we would just be talking about my body dysmorphia. And there's other more important things to talk about in therapy.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's only like 75%. The other 25.
Jeff, can I also say how excited I was to see you in that? I thought you were just like, just had a role on that new show, the Bridget Everett show.
Yeah.
And then to watch the trailer and see you featured in a good deal of it was very exciting for me.
It is exciting.
Oh, you sound it.
Well, I'm excited that it's finally out because I feel like I remember when you shot the pilot 45 years ago.
I shot the pilot in 2019, October of 2019.
Jesus.
I mean, it's so exhausting.
Wait, that was pre-pandemic?
We should be promoting season 3 right now.
Exactly.
Hold on. That was pre-pandemic, right? Is I have my timeline correct?
Yes.
I know everything's collapsed, like we're in a black hole, but like that was pre-pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah, the pilot was pre-pandemic, but then we got picked up in March of 2020, so then it took a while.
Mm-hmm. It took a while.
And can I also say, Jeff, I think you know this already, right? But you play a pivotal role in Naomi and my burgeoning love.
Wow.
Back in the year. Speaking of years past, the year. Do you remember the storied year 2010?
2010.
UCB only had two theaters, one at Franklin and one at Chelsea. What else?
And
was
also
happening?
One in LA, but yeah.
Yeah, well, Franklin.
Franklin.
Oh, Franklin. Oh, right. It was pre East Village. You're right.
Yeah,
right,
pre-Beast.
Pre-Beast. We all had a glimmer of hope in our eyes. I believe
before the show, they heated out of us.
The show was called.
It was before the Tea Party, right? Is this correct?
No, no, not at all.
I don't think it was.
The show was called The Lottery. The performers: Jeff Hiller. Why am I Risa Sangarai? Is that her name?
Yes.
Yes, Risa. Yeah.
And then there was one more person whose name I'm blanking on.
You know what, Naomi? It all faded into the background. So for the listener, there was a show at UCB called The Lottery.
You know the listeners heard our origin story.
Where?
I don't think I've heard this origin story.
Some listeners, Naomi. You always have to play to the new listeners.
Okay, Andy. Play to the new listeners. Play to the back of the house.
Right. This is network, not streaming. Okay? We have to retell.
Yeah, Naomi. This is NBC prime time.
Thursday nights, back when it was the big channel.
Yeah, can't miss. What was it called?
I don't know.
Must see TV.
Must see.
There you go.
Must hear TV.
Must hear podcast.
The show, there was a show at UCB called The Lottery where they would pluck students.
Pluck.
Like you and me.
Yep.
And have the show after the Tuesday night. Tuesday nights was like it was called Harold Night, where they would have house teams perform.
Gosh, yep.
And then at the conclusion of that, there was this show called The Lottery where we students would perform with
the best
house team members.
The top of the pops.
And you and I, that's how we met. You and I were in
that's
the same show. First beats was me and Risa. Second beats, you and Jeff.
And I did demand... I was going to say request, but it was demand to be on Jeff's team. Because, Jeff, I feel like I'm so
glad...
Well,
we knew each other before, though.
Well, I know,
you
but
and
I'm glad that we actually became friends given how we met. Because you know how sometimes it's hard to kind of transition into, like, I'm a regular person, you're a regular person. When I literally came up to you on a Halloween dressed as Sojourner Truth and told you I was obsessed with you. And the fact that we could pivot from that...
Wait, I never heard this. What?
It was before your time.
But then you were like, hey, can we go out to coffee or something or whatever? And I was like, yeah. And we went out and I was on Weight Watchers at the time. And I remember I had this app, the Weight Watchers app had this thing at the time, which I've been on it since. So it was really successful. Anyway, they don't have it anymore. But you could see a piece of pizza and you could just like put different toppings on it. And it would tell you how many points that, that piece would be.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was like... playing with it when he walked up, and I was like so mortified because I was like, now I have to tell her. I have to tell her I'm on Weight Watchers right now. And you were so kind about it. And so I felt instantly bonded to you.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. I wanna
You wanna unpack this?
Go back to this moment.
Okay.
Why were you mortified that you were doing Weight Watchers?
Well, cause it's I don't know. It's like okay, this is someone I've just met, right? But I'm also not on the stage where I can, like, control the narrative.
Yes.
So it feels very vulnerable to be like, I don't like the way I look, and I'm trying to do something to make it better. We both know it won't work. And we both know that I've chosen the thing that's less about actual health and more about, like, losing the pounds. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's very like, of course I just said it right now in public, but whatever.
But it was, I get it that it was more information than you were like preparing to share with someone you didn't really know.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it was like, I got a lot. And you're like, we haven't even exchanged last names. It's like, I get it.
So what year was this? Because there was a point in time when society just started to scream out all of this stuff, all of the kind of, I don't know what you call, repressed feelings, repressed thoughts on Twitter. So all these things that you just said, some like today people like just go scroll on Twitter
And people right. are screaming all those things on Twitter right now, right? Yeah. Whereas yeah. at that time, was this 2009, 2008? It was
2008.
Yeah, yeah. It had to be 8.
So 08, people are like still ashamed of certain things. Whereas yeah. now everyone is just like vomiting them up into the collective unconscious.
But again, like even at that time, I would have said it on stage, like doing stand up or something.
Sure,
I would right. never have said it. I don't know. There's just something about like, oh, I'm the one who's going to tell you how to do improv, which by the way, we ended up being like, I don't do improv. Just do stand up if that's what you want to do. And you were like, oh, good. That's really what I want to do. And I was like, oh, yeah, this won't get you nothing.
So I think we need to just step it out. For the record, Jeff is the one who got that monkey off my back. Got the improv monkey off my back. I pivoted and it never felt better.
Well, I remember you being like, I don't like doing it. I'm not very good at it, and I don't like watching it. And I was like, oh, then don't do there's no reason for this. This will not help your career at all.
So wait, Naomi, what, when you
Me
first-
as a slave on Halloween?
When you first, well, I believe Sojourner is on both sides of that equation, right?
Yeah.
So, you could have been a free woman. But yeah. when you saw Jeff, you saw him, you had seen him perform?
Before, yes.
I love that Andy just like lawyered you into being you were like, you could have been a free woman, and Naomi, you were just like, you're right. Okay. it was a costume that I created myself and that yeah. I wrote.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'm just gonna tell you, it's a very easy costume to make, you guys. You just gotta get a cheap little bonnet from Halloween Adventure, then put on a button down shirt, and then have a long black skirt. And a comfortable shoe. It was the warmest Halloween costume I've ever had.
You can also pivot to be like a sister wife in that
if
costume.
If you need to. Absolutely. Oh,
but didn't we meet at, not at a birthday party, not at a UCB party, but at a birthday party?
Yes, it was someone, it was like a friend. It was someone,
Nick Searley. Do you know him?
Yes, absolutely. That's Nick Searley, actor.
Not Nick Searcy, the... older, very Republican actor on Justified.
No, he did not invite Naomi and myself to his birthday.
who I'm sure is anti-vax. You saw Jeff perform, and then you're like, I want to be his friend.
I just saw he was the funniest person I'd ever seen. And I had to let him know that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know if it would take off. You know what I mean? In fact, I was pretty sure it wouldn't because I was coming in hot. And so I didn't plan that. But, like, it was just because, too, I didn't expect to see him at that party, right? So when I saw him in this social setting and it wasn't improv, right. I was like, this is my chance. You got to get in there. And so that was, because I feel like if I just come up to you and like UCB after a show, it would have been like, all right, are you in 101? You know what I mean? You'd have kept moving. But I think it kind of helped.
Well, and you were funny. You were funny. That helps.
Bless.
Don't you think?
It helps a little bit, but I don't know if you knew that by then.
But you were funny when we talked.
Oh, that's good. Thank God. Still got it. Jeff, you grew up in the South, correct?
Texas, yeah.
Texas.
See, sometimes people say Texas is not the South, that it's like its own thing, you know?
They do?
Uh-huh.
what? Like, I think it's not South like Georgia and South Carolina. It's its own thing. I wouldn't say it's a good thing or a better thing.
It's just its own thing.
Yes.
What does that mean? And also, have you ever messed with it?
Andy, oh my God. For wrong. Just the tiniest moment, I was like, that is an inappropriate question. Have I ever messed with it? No, I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of it. And and I always clap when they say the stars at night are big and bright.
But that's just because you're a Pee-wee's Big Adventure fan.
Yep. No, they ingrained that stuff way before I saw Pee-wee. that stuff is ingrained deeply.
Where in Texas?
San Antonio.
San Antonio. Okay, so I'm going to go back for a second, though. What makes Texas its own thing?
Oh, right. That's what
that's not right. That's not Southern.
Well, it's like more cowboy than like
so than sweet tea. Than wheat,
yeah,
than sweet
exactly.
Tea.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for instance, sweet tea wasn't really a big part of my growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, like, the rodeo was something I went to, even though I did not want to go to it.
You went to the rodeo, like, when you were, it was a hangout, or was it like your parents?
Yeah,
like,
did you and your friends just be like, yeah, hey, you want to go get some hot dogs down at the rodeo?
It was like the mall. No, it was not like the mall. It was like a thing you got tickets to once a year.
Okay.
But I always went with like another friend's family. My parents were like, nah.
Really?
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God. We weren't into that.
Were either of them from Texas originally?
Both of them.
Oh, okay. So they were born and raised Texan, but they were like, we don't.
How far back? How about far back does your family go? Confederacy?
Oh, God. I mean, I probably don't want to go on that show. I don't. My mom's grandparents were immigrants. And my dad's family is the one, the reason I don't want to go. I don't know how long. Pretty far.
Okay. Pretty far.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
There's a Colonel Hiller back no. there.
Well, I don't think that anybody, I don't know. I'm not going to defend it or anything.
Yeah.
I haven't done the research, dude. And I probably should, so I can
I think
do
you
some
should.
Reparations or something.
Definitely on couples therapy, defend the Confederacy.
This is what we brought you here for, actually.
To defend good. The Confederacy. This is going to go well.
wait, so the rodeo. Okay, so what? It's just like...
Well, I don't know. I've always seen it on my life.
I know. He said once a year.
He said once a year. I can tell you all. I went to temple. I went to the High Holy Days once a year, and I can. And it was boring as heck. And I can tell you about it. But what See, is?
I mean, I could tell you about it. It was boring as heck.
Yeah. So, like, what is it? Like, it's just like bulls and stuff. I don't know. I've only seen it on TV. I don't know what a rodeo really is.
Yeah, people do bulls. I mean, there's kind of like. It's kind of like there's like a fair associated with it too, so you can like see like the kids doing 4-H or whatever.
Oh my God, I was just about to ask you, what is 4-H? Now, granted, we do have the internet. I don't need to ask you. However, I would love an insider's telling of what 4-H is.
I wouldn't say I'm an insider, but I will say that it's about like it's like the student group for people who want to be farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can we guess what the H's are and you'll tell us if we're right?
Oh, I don't know what the H's are.
Hogs.
Health.
Hominy. You said farming, so I was like, what? You know what else? Health. And.
Hoss.
Hoss. I mean, I was going to say hearth, but I think I'll go with hoss.
Hogs, hearth, hoss. Actually, I think hearth is one of them. I think hearth is one, and home, and maybe heart.
Okay,
hearth,
well,
and home are too similar.
They're
it can't
the
be
same.
That. Yeah.
That's why I think it's got to be hogs. But
hearth, hold on. Hearth, home, heart, and hogs.
Also, just like the idea that hominy would be one of them is very funny to
me. Sure, grits.
I'm just, hey, it's Southern. A little something.
That's the only joke I remember from the real Ghostbusters cartoon from the 80s was it's raining grits, and I think Ray stands, one of them goes, it's raining hominy grits, and the other guy goes, what's hominy? And he goes, how many grits do you want?
Oh, Lord.
That's gotcha. The one thing you remember about that show?
About the real Ghostbusters? Besides the fact that Ray stands, or not Ray stands, Peter Venkman was voiced by Lorenzo Music, who also voiced Garfield.
And Carlton the Doorman on Rhoda.
That's Lorenzo Music?
Yes, when I moved to L.A., I binged from beginning to end Mary Tyler Moore and then Rhoda. That's how busy I was.
Have you ever made sweet Lorenzo music?
Can I please pivot to an actual question? Because, Jeff, we are going to be answering people's questions, you know, relationship questions. And
oh, wow.
Something I was thinking about with you... As long as I've known you, and I, you know, just my memory, so it may not be accurate, you've always been in a relationship with the same person. Like, you and your husband have been together so long. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, when did you meet
since
Neil?
Since 2008. February of 2008. Or March.
Okay.
Who did you meet first, Naomi or Neil?
I think I had met Neil. when I met you, because I did a nymph show with Nick in the summer of 2000. Oh, no, wait, that was 2006. I don't know.
Wow. Well, but like, are you someone who was like always, you know, in relationships?
No.
You know, was it something like when you moved to New York or like what was the whole thing?
No, I was like single, 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 single. Like I was like, that was my brand.
Were you ready to mingle or were you not?
I feel like I was desperate to mingle, but probably not ready, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. That makes a lot of sense.
When did you move to New York?
June of 2001. June 1st, 2001.
Okay, it's a good time.
Just enough time to get to know where the subway was before everything went crazy. I guess it's sort of like moving in like January of 2020. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you date at all in Texas?
No, God, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, because after college, I moved to Denver.
What?
And I lived in Denver for 3 years, and I was a social worker for 3 years.
What? Yeah. See, this is why we podcast, because this doesn't come up in conversation.
I know that this is something you're going to have to cut out, but the Mabel's little legs just barely reaching into the frame is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Mabel is behind us, twitching on her back.
She's scratching her back on the rug.
With her legs flailing in the air.
But I don't see her body. I just
see her little legs.
She likes to scratch her back.
Hey, everybody. So, yeah, I was a social worker for 3 years right after. And I went to a Christian college. I came out my junior year, but only, like, to a small group of people. Mm-hmm. And there was nobody to date, even if I had been out fully. And then when I was in Denver, I tried to date everybody, and I dated nobody. And then I came to New York, and I went on dates. And in my telling of it, it was always that I was rejected. But in truth, it was that I think I was a little scared of people. I was just like going for anybody, even though there was no real connection there. So it didn't help much. You know what I mean? See.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Huh. Don't I know it, sister. Mm-hmm. Single in New York City, baby.
That's right. That was kind of your brand before, too, right?
A lot of mistakes.
For sure. Absolutely.
I remember thinking about it in terms of, like, optimism, where I was like, oh, we don't seem to have chemistry, whoever I was dating. Because I was in a lot of, like, monogamous relationships, and then when I got to New York, my friend had just gotten divorced, and he went on OkCupid, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'll try that out. And I went on a bunch of very lackluster dates, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'll try. There's no chemistry here. We don't seem to have much in common, but maybe I'm just not giving them a chance.
Absolutely, me too. And now I know if you're not into it in the first 10 minutes, you're never going to be into it.
You'd think so.
I do. I think you know.
That's interesting. But I think, I disagree, because I do think that, I think what you know in the first 10 minutes is whether or not you think a person is cute. Because so many people in this life have layers. You know what I mean? Meaning they're hiding. Like they don't have open hearts and loose butts. So it may take a while before you see who they actually are.
Yeah, we didn't know you were a social worker.
That's true. Well, I think I've loosened my butt now. I can tell you.
But given that you were saying, like, you know, at first you were just putting it out there, just being like, what was it about Neil that let you know? Was it just the first 10 minutes and you were like, you know what I mean? Like, I like you.
No.
You like me.
I don't think that you can know that you're going to have a long-term relationship with someone in the first 10 minutes, but I think you can know whether or not you want a second date in the first 10 minutes. Okay. Because, and I'm not talking about just if they're cute, because if they're cute, you can figure that out in the first 30 seconds. but like, there were so many times when, like, it would be 10 minutes in and no one had asked me a question. And if that had happened, they weren't going to ask me 2 hours in either. There would be no question asking.
Right.
Or they would say something that was like, not like blatantly offensive, but just something where you're like, I smell something a little off with that comment. And then it would always be like, oh yeah, they revealed themselves to me.
Yeah.
And that usually happened in the first 10 minutes.
You get little whiffs of what people are like. And sometimes those whiffs are just a hint of garbage in them. And yes. Then you're like, I don't think that's good. I don't think if you get a whiff of garbage, there's going to be some roses hidden underneath.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's right. That there are just some people I know just from like say if I'm doing beginnings interviews, mm-hmm. there are some people where just like in the first 30 seconds, we already have chemistry and we're talking and it's just a delight. And then there are other, I did this, I can't say what it is because it might never come out. But this one interview last week where the person, I would ask every question. I used every every tool in my interviewer's toolbox. And then it was just like I would reveal things about myself in the hopes that they would reveal something, all this stuff. And then just like one word answers, just like, nope. And just absolute silence. And to me, that's also like dating, right? There are some people where you're like, you're tap dancing. Yeah. On the top spire of the Empire State Building, and they're just like staring at you dead eyed, right. Just like, you know, doing math in their heads.
Right, on the F train. But I was trying to be the opposite of this, of the tall building. Anyway,
doing math. Yeah, no, that's a great metaphor. Now, if you're dating someone and you just see like nothing behind their eyes, they're doing math on the F train.
Okay. We love that. But I did want to say though, Andy, you and I did not have chemistry right away.
I think we did though. I think you're wrong. There was like if you go back to the. We have a record of this because of our G-chats. Mm-hmm. They're flirty. They're fun. They're very Samantha.
And just like that, we got together.
I think there was too much chemistry because it was very tumultuous.
Oh, you think tumultuous means too much chemistry? I think tumultuous means I was very extra, uh-huh. And you were not yet emotionally open.
Yeah.
That's not chemistry. Wouldn't you say, Jeffrey?
Oh, once again, you were coming in hot.
That's how I do it. That's how I do it, baby.
I guess you're right. Also, like, what do I know? I've been in one relationship.
But given, I mean, you're joking, but I do think that, like, I know, for instance, for me, one of the things that was... I think made it a little tumultuous or made it confusing because I haven't been in a lot of relationships. So I was constantly looking at things 100%. Like, is this a sign that it's bad or is this a sign that it's good? How much does he like me? Because I didn't have like an internal compass really.
Right.
Did you find that to be the case when you found love?
No, but see, I think also what I discovered about myself. So almost all of my close friends are women, and all but one are straight women. Mm-hmm. And I have found that they are all, I'm not trying to make this a gendered thing, but I guess I am. I don't think it's gendered, but I.
But your friend group, your friends.
My friend group, I have found that even though I am like them in most other ways, I'm not the kind of person that's like, what did that mean? What did that mean? He said this, which probably means that, which means this, and blah, blah. And like, I was just talking to somebody earlier today, and she was like, I was FaceTiming with him, and his office door was closed. I mean, what does that mean? And I was like, and I literally was like, I don't know. What? Why are you asking? And she was like, well, I mean, I pee with the door open and he's got his office door closed. And I was like, I still don't see the connection. And she was like, somebody was there. Somebody was there and he didn't want him to hear. And I was like, oh, okay. So, I don't know.
Doors are notoriously.
Doors are
notoriously soundproof and dense. Mm-hmm. I can't hear. If you close the door, I can't hear Naomi in the other part of the apartment at all.
God, we wish. We wish that was the way it worked.
What a,
Why is this person reading like this like a text, like a deep text, like in an English class?
Because they're not confident in the relationship / burgeoning dynamic.
Right. And I will also say that I have such a low self-esteem that if I felt any sort of I'm not 100% in, I was 100% out because I wanted to reject them before they rejected me. So that is also why I was so single. And so, you know, I could have been in a relationship with someone who was like halfway in, but I didn't want that. So that's really, that makes it sound worse. It sounds like the only reason I'm with Neil is because like he was interested, but just not true.
No, but I was going to ask you though, when did you know he was all in? Because it does take a while to get all in with any person, right? And so.
Totally.
What was there a moment? Was there an action? Okay. Was there a love language he spoke?
We only just discovered our love language. Like literally we were talking about it last night and I was like, oh, that's your love language. And then I was like, I should probably do stuff. And he was like, well, I don't care. And I was like, no, that's how you respect love. That's how I show you love. So then it was acts of service. So I was like, I'll go to the grocery store. Eh? when did I know? I do know. I know exactly when. It was like far into the relationship too. It was like 6 months or something, which was far for me. And he was on Fire Island with his friends. It's very gay New York specific. And I was going to come. I had a show, who knows, some show I was doing, and I couldn't come right away. So I was like, I'll meet you there the next day. And I checked the train schedule, but I didn't check the ferry schedule. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that if I took this train, which worked well for me, leaving from whatever, Moynihan Station, it was way before Moynihan. Anyway, Penn Station, I was like, oh, that'll be perfect. And then I got there, and there was like an hour and a half between when the train got there and the ferry took off. And so I was like, what do I do? And he was like, you've got to go. This is also just him. He was like, you got to go to this other place. And so like I walked to this other ferry and took it to a different part of Fire Island. And I was like, had two bags and I was walking down the beach and the sun was so bright and it was so hot. And he finally met me and he was like, hey, next time you got to organize yourself and make better. And I was like, wow. And we had our first fight on the beach of Fire Island. And I was like, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to walk to the ferry in the pines.
Yes, I understand this.
And I'm going to take off, which I think is a very Sagittarian thing to do.
Yes, we are twins, you guys. Jeff and I do have the same birthday. We're twins.
We're birthday twins. And so I was like, I'm out. And I was walking and he was like, what are you doing? He is a Virgo. I don't really know anything about these things. Probably some person who knows about astrology was like, no, you're completely wrong. But he was like, what are you doing? That's insane. Don't do that. And we had this like real come to Jesus moment where we were like, where I was like, oh, it's over. You yelled at me for being late. I'm out of here. And he apologized and he was, he's like so therapized. So like he doesn't get angry. He like really processes it and does all this processing. And so once we were processing, I was like, oh, I think this is the real deal. And then the next month I screen tested for Mad TV in LA and I was like, but what about Neil? Which like for a career obsessed person like me.
Yeah.
Showed me that I didn't get it, so
Neil was there. You stayed strong.
Exactly. I probably would have figured something. We did.
Yeah, you always figure it out. But I know what you mean. The first time, you know, you were factoring him into the future.
Right. It was a first. I never even considered that before.
And what characters did you do for your Mad TV audition? Oh,
well, I did do an impression of Britney Spears, and before I went in, they said, don't do that.
Oh, who said don't do that?
The casting director.
Oh!
She was like, for the callback, don't do that. And because I did Britney Spears and Julia Roberts and some other, I can't remember. Oh, Daphne Rubin Vega.
Okay. Very specific. Said,
none of those people are people you would play on the show. And I was like, I know, but that's who I listen. That's how I know. And they were like, don't do that. So then I had to work up some dumb George W. Bush impression.
Oh my God, that's hysterical. That you would even bring a Britney. If I go in for an audition, I am giving you Omarosa. I'm giving you Star Jones. I'm giving you Gail King. I'm giving you Ruby Dee. I'm giving you young Cicely Tyson. D. I know all old references. I would like people who are not from now.
Jeff is like, right. I got a Mae West. I got a...
Right. Well, Daphne Rubin Vega, first of all, is a woman of color. No one knows who
no
she is.
No one knew her.
She got nominated for a Tony in like 1996. Like, that's the last thing that's happened for her. Bless. I mean, she's great. I love her. But like,
yeah.
Just because I listen to Rent a lot does not mean that I'm going to be on Mad TV playing someone from Rent. It doesn't mean that at all, in fact. Yeah.
So when did you guys get married then?
Well, we just got married when it became legal, and it was the proposal wasn't especially romantic. It was very like, oh, well, should we do this? Yeah. Should we? Probably before the end of the year, right? So for the taxes. Oh, yeah, for the taxes. Consequently, our anniversary is tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, really before the end of the year. This is December when we are recording.
Sorry, I'm imagining like an embroidered thing with like two doves kissing and it just says for the taxes underneath. Two doves,
also,
there's
you know,
a cloud.
In case one of us dies, the other one gets the apartment. That's sure. that's an asterisk after taxes and then down at the bottom. Tiny little hand stitched.
Wait, what year was that then? 2011?
13.
13
legal. Wow.
New York wasn't like on the forefront.
No, it wasn't. Iowa was before New York.
What? Said yeah. No one ever. You know what I mean? Iowa before New York in anything.
It's so true.
Andy doesn't like that I said no one ever. He just scrunched up his face like, what? What was that? Well, I said it. I said what I said.
Sorry, you sounded like a 60-year-old boomer.
I did?
Yeah, said no one. Like, hey, to their grandchildren, do you see this cool meme? Did you see this cool
whatever?
This cool meme?
Mimi, back to Daphne Rubin Vega. Andy, I feel like I'm ready to dive into questions.
Yeah, why don't we take a break and we'll come back? We're going to answer some of your advice questions. We'll be back after this.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back
with Jeff Hiller here to handle your scandal, honey. Now, as always, as we say, you know, we get these messages, we get DMs on Instagram, DMs on Twitter, emails to couplestherapypod@gmail.com, but the best of the best are the voicemails, okay? Because I like to hear where you're at emotionally. I like to hear, you know, how desperate are you? That'll influence our answer. That number, as always, is 323-524-7839. Now, Jeff, let's go.
Okay.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. I noticed a lot of people say Andy and Naomi, but not this black woman. I was just listening to a recent episode of your pod, and you said that you needed more voicemails, so I thought I'd help out. Basically, I am just a little bit outside the situation, like 6 weeks outside of a situation where I got dumped. They were ethically non-monogamous, which I won't even get into that whole fucking can of worms, but basically we were not like together, sort of any official title. And I don't think I was in love with this person, but I do think I'm experiencing some form of heartbreak, the first actually in my life. And basically I was just wondering, because I've been doing all the things that they say to do of like healing myself and taking baths and going out with friends and doing this and doing that. And I still don't feel good. I mean, as one of my friends said, my heartbreak is really working out for their social life because I've just been going out all the time. But then also somehow staying in all the time. And basically, I just want to know, I know most people would say, oh, you've got to like give yourself time and heal and all that. But fuck all that. I want to know if you have tips, tricks, anything I can do to skirt this feeling and feel better a lot quicker because I'm tired. I'm tired of caring. I'm tired of working on this. And it'd be cool to just be back to some kind of normal, not expecting anything joy. So if you can help me out, I would really appreciate it. Love the show. And thanks.
Hacking your heartbreak.
How to hack the heartbreak. Oh, my God. Now, Jeff, as somebody who, you know, would leave a bitch in the cold in the Fire Island Pines, what would you do to, like, shake it off?
Shake it off, yeah. Well, okay, I know what I did do when I had heartbreak before I was with Neil, and I wouldn't recommend it, because what I would do is I'd eat my feelings. And when I had a breakup, I would suddenly gain 25 pounds, and then I'd be on Weight Watchers having coffee with a young person. They'd catch me looking at my pizza slides. Let's see. First of all, I really appreciated her being like, I've been doing all the things of like taking baths.
I know.
I am so sick of that's like everything in the pandemic was like, practice self-care, take a bath. I'm like, I can't take another fucking bath. It doesn't do anything for me. I just get a little chilly. The water gets cold quick. And
you got to re-up.
Litter boxes in there.
You
got to re-up with the hot water.
Andy loves a soak.
Oh, do you?
He loves a soak.
Well, no, I like what the soak
and everything.
Oh, no, none of that stuff. I just like that it makes me read, because I can't like fuck around on my phone or anything like that. I just have to read, and it also keeps me warm. It's a dual thing. But I don't see it as I don't understand that kind of like self-care thing. I use it just to like to force my brain to do one certain thing that I'm not doing otherwise.
Maybe that's why. It's kind of like meditation. I just meditated in there, and then I was like, I'm cold. Because you can't be up in the hot water while you're meditating.
Right.
That's a lot of self-care, actually, to add meditation to a bath. That's too
Yeah,
things.
That's too much. That's too many things. Other,
it's too much. I know.
In retrospect, I was going at it too hard. I just really wanted to feel better. I was trying to hack my pain, my pandemic pain.
Hack your pain away.
I don't think there is any answer, though. Because the only way to not feel any, to not feel sad is to mask your pain with, you know, things that are going to be worse for you than feeling the pain. Sorry. I'm sorry.
You got something?
I think things like for her would be like, because what she's saying of like, I'm being so busy, I'm going out and I'm doing the baths and I'm da da da. This is going to sound annoying and it is kind of in line with what Jeff is saying, but you need to let yourself feel it hard. Be like, I am going to take a weekend. Yeah. I'm going to put on some Ani DiFranco. I am going to let it out.
Right.
You got to purge it. Because I think right now what you're doing is you're going. And then in these moments when you stop, you feel it all again.
Yeah.
And I think you're not fully processing it. And I know that is annoying AF, but I think 48 to 72 hours of really wallowing in the long run saves you time.
I agree. And journal. Like, do like all of the shit. Like, light a scented candle and journal.
In a bath.
You can take a bath later, too. Yeah, exactly.
Naomi, can I say something?
Yeah.
That was going to be my advice.
It was.
Because I'm like, okay, the problem is, this is the thing that I've been doing in therapy a lot, where it's like, instead of putting on a podcast, if I'm feeling something, instead of putting on a podcast to distract myself, uh-huh. My therapist is like, you should actually pay attention to what's going on and process it in the moment and deal with it then. Because all you're doing is kicking the can down the road. Yeah. So all
And then the can gets bigger.
Yeah, they start collecting dirt and dust and whatever else.
Yeah, it becomes
on the
a snowball.
It does.
We've learned I'm not good with the metaphors. I
You're kicking the can into a snowball.
I'm sorry.
On the F train.
No, the F train was really weird.
No joke. I did like that. Doing math on the F train to me is going to be a new saying. If we were just making t-shirts willy-nilly, that would be a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think in order to actually process this stuff, you have to confront it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The only way out is through, as they say.
I agree.
And also, if you haven't, even though I'm sure you have, you sound young and hip and savvy, make sure you mute this person on all socials, if not unfollow them entirely. You know, you don't need to be looking at them. You don't need to be checking in on their life, because I think that, especially when you're not over it, like, it's such an easy thing to do. It's almost like picking a wound, you know? And it's like, nope, gotta get rid of them.
Doing that is like reading the comments on YouTube or something. It's like you don't. Yeah. Do that. And also, it's like reading the comments on YouTube where it's like, I know I shouldn't do that, but I do that. Sometimes I do that.
Yeah. What is the masochistic thing? Because there are where I'm like, I shouldn't read these comments. And then I do anyway. What is that impulse?
I think the impulse, you don't go in to say what someone's saying bad about me. You go in to see who likes
you.
And then on that journey, you find out who doesn't like you. Mm-hmm. And then you try to like almost mentally defend yourself, if that makes any sense, right? Because when you see a bad comment, I'm not someone who would ever write someone back. But I'd be in my head like, does that person have a point? Or are they a stupid bitch? And you just kind of just figure out, you know?
But that's what I do. But I do want, I'm like, maybe someone will say something that will really put all of this into context. Maybe I will see a comment and I'll be like, oh my God, finally. This
is
enlightenment.
That's a good note. That's a good note, this comment.
They never are, never, not once. They're always like someone who is unbalanced in some way.
Right. Or just mean. You're ugly. That's
exactly.
What it's-
just mean. And that's the thing, though, because I'm the same. You know, I'm not an internet commenter either way. But what I do notice is, like, when people like stuff, you kind of just think to yourself, oh, that was cute or that was fun. And you keep on scrolling. But when people don't like stuff, they really got to let you know.
Yeah.
And I just wish they would just keep that to themselves. I don't need you to like it. But you ain't got to tell me you don't like it. And that's totally. What I don't get, the impulse. Because, you know, I hate so many things. But I'm not going around, you know what I mean, leaving comments going on Yelp.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you have a fulfilling life. You know what I mean?
Like, not that fulfilling. I play Gardenscapes a lot.
Gardenscapes?
Gardenscapes is a phone game. And I even recently spent 99 cents to get some See, that's why I didn't tell you.
Naomi, you crossed a line.
You have that reaction. Do you hear how he reacted, Jeff?
Yeah, it sounded very similar to something that would happen in my home.
Which one are you, though? Are you buying the power-ups or
deal-time? I bought the power-up for my stupid game called Two Dots. And I didn't know we had a family share program. And Neil goes, did you spend 99 cents on a game? And I was like, no, I need you.
All right.
Stars are just like us. That's how that made me feel.
Let's do this one.
Hey, Andy and Naomi, first time caller, big fan, love you both, yada yada, you know the spiel. So, calling because my husband and I, overall fine, totally fine, I would say 8 out of 10, mostly fine, but we both recognize that we have baggage, both on an individual level, that is affecting us as a couple. And we both recognize that therapy would help with this. And both know that we should see therapists individually and as a couple. But I think there's just a few things that like make us hesitant and not really sure where to start. Fortunately, I did just secure a full-time job, so healthcare is coming any day now. Hopefully that will help with the cost. But, you know, we both identify as queer. You know, we both have various issues regarding identity, sexuality, gender, and just want to make sure that we see a therapist that respects those. And, you know, like, I might be gender fluid, polyamorous. You know, he is sexually fluid. And just want to make sure that we find a therapist that respects us and our identities. Where do we start? Like, where do we go? What do we do? Is there, like, a therapist.com? Is there a search engine for therapists? Just kind of, like, unsure as to where to overall begin that process. So, yeah, I would love your help with this. My love to all the animals. And my love to your guests and to you, too, as well. Have a wonderful one.
Ah, I love that.
What a
that
sweetheart.
Was very sweet. Be sweet.
I do know this. Because my husband loves therapy. Loves it. He, at one point, I guess I'm talking out of school here, but I don't think he'll mind. At one point, before we met with his previous partner, he was going to couples by himself twice a week, and also he was in group.
Wow, that's a full week. That's a full week.
That's a full week.
That's 4 hours a day. That's a part-time job. I mean, 4 hours a week, part-time. Yeah.
Now, there is Psychology Today has therapists that you can look at. And you can even filter to therapists who specifically work with people, with LGBTQ people, with gender identity, with like all of the stuff you can filter. If you have something that you haven't mentioned because you didn't want to say it on a podcast, there's probably that filter too.
Yeah.
The other really, really helpful thing is if you have a friend who talks about being in therapy, which I always do talk about being in therapy because I think it's helpful to like destigmatize it. But I also think, also I'm in New York, so it's like, it's not stigmatized here. But I think that way you can go to your friend who you know that like, oh, we have the same belief system, and you can ask them not to go to their therapist, but for their therapist to give
A recommendation. That's a very good call, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's great. You can always get a good therapist rec. We're constantly asking our couples therapists for recs, right? Because like sometimes people will ask us, knowing that we're in couples, and then I'll be like, you know, we're like, James, do you like somebody? Like, do you have anybody over here? Do you like anybody in LA? Like, you know, all that kind of stuff, because he's a New York person, but
we're constantly recommending him to people.
Oh, right.
But then sometimes he'll be, you know, but then sometimes, too, he's like, not me, but this person. That's very true. And yes, Psychology Today is very good one. So when you said, is there a therapist.com, it is psychologytoday.com. And then, yeah, you put in your zip code or, you know, the area you want in and just like, yep, click them boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen. And
And sometimes it's even like, it's almost like Uber Eats or something. It's like, here's a picture of them. And like, you can like map it and be like, where do I? But nowadays you can, you know, everybody's doing it online these days.
Well, it's hard to find somebody. Lately, I've been saying that too, because all the female therapists are booked busy blessed. You know, they're very, very busy. This is therapist time to shine.
My therapist was like, I can give you recommendations, but I don't know anybody who's taking anybody right now, which is a terrible thing to say to your guest who just called.
No, but we don't know where they are. It could be, and also I also think, you know, with couples, it can be different, right? Like who's taking a couple, who is available for, you know, people on the gender spectrum and sexuality spectrum. It's like, I don't know. I think the more specific the therapist is, the more available they are, because they know they're a damn lifeline. It's like, we need you out here. Don't be pretending like you're busy. You work at 80 hours a week for the community. Okay? That's
how I feel. Do you think 80 hours a week just listening to people? Oh my God, that sounds awful.
Well, some paperwork.
Okay. Yeah, you gotta submit stuff to Medicaid or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that there are therapists that are rooting for this dystopia to keep rolling on? Because they're just like, they're sitting there in like an Uncle Scrooge type money bin, just like swimming in gold coins.
I struck oil in this pandemic.
Just like they're in a little bio lab trying to figure out like the next strain of COVID to release so that they can. Yeah. That's a real bomb.
Don't even
type
say ingest, because some right wing media outlet is going to pick this up, won't you?
like this guy says that therapists are the cause of COVID.
It would be like, notable Jewish man says the therapists have created COVID.
Notable Israeli agent Andy. It's like, oh boy.
Oh Lord.
There's so many layers of hatred in this person's thing. I don't even know where to start.
But this person we created.
Created in quotes. They're
exactly. Real.
They're out there.
They're out.
And they're lunatics.
They're leaving YouTube comments.
Do you guys want to do one more?
Yeah, do you have time, Jeffrey?
I do.
Bless.
So this comes to us from Twitter. I don't know if they say their name in it. So
a lot of names in it.
My name is Leo, and I have two friends named Patricia and Michael. Okay. We have been friends for roughly around 6 years. Mm-hmm. Me and Michael are both gay, and Patricia is pan. I have been in a monogamous relationship for about 3 years with a great, hardworking man.
Okay, hardworking.
It's a good adjective to use. No, however, life events placed a strain on the relationship.
What placed a strain? I'm sorry.
However, life events placed a strain on the relationship for about 2 months or so. We are thriving now. That's in parentheses. And communication was not so great, which is probably why I had a sex dream about Michael. I only told Patricia about it because I was so weirded out by it. Not because Michael isn't attractive or anything, but because it came out of nowhere and at the time I didn't understand why it happened. Wow. I did not act on any part of the dream or implications because I'm a person of my word when in a relationship. So when I told Patricia, it was merely me venting. However, I began to notice that Michael is very distant from me now.
Uh-oh.
He barely talks to me and he only hangs out with me when she's around. And that was never the case before me venting. My question is, how do I handle my suspicion that Patricia told Michael? Should I just let the friendships fall to the wastelands? What should be done about this? Thanks, Leo. P.S. You both are great highlights that got me through very dark times since discovering your podcast a few months ago. Thanks for being you. And as a black Detroit-raised person in my head, I call Naomi my cousin in spirit. LOL.
Yes, cousin. You my play cousin, Leo. That is us.
Your listeners are also nice.
I know. They're very sweet indoor kids. That's what I say. We're all like sweet indoor kids together. And I love them.
What? Hold on, Jeff. What were you expecting? What kind of listeners?
I don't know. I guess I don't know what to expect. It wasn't like I was expecting anything. It was just I've been very touched by everyone's like very personal comments about like how you're very kind and nice and they love you so tenderly.
Well, no, I agree. Strangers on the internet. It is surprising when a stranger's like, I like you a lot. You help me, right? Because it's like, again, we're talking about how mostly they just leave mean comments.
It's so touching. Yes,
V-tender. Now, Leo, you gotta talk to Patricia.
Yeah, there's just no other answer.
Right?
Well, hold on. The other answer is do the math and be like, do I treasure these friendships? And then if you're like, maybe not. Maybe if Patricia's gonna spill the tea about my sex dreams, maybe I don't want to be friends with her. And then just let it go.
Right.
I
guess that is, first of all, such a long tweet. Thank God they can do
that. Oh, it was a direct message.
DM, a DM.
DM.
That makes more sense. Can you tell I'm a little bit of a Luddite? I'm like, how does Twitter work if it was only 140? Anyway.
They asked at Jack for a special dispensation to do a long tweet to us.
Dispensation.
Wait, what were you going to say, Naomi? I feel like I interrupted you.
No, please.
Well, I think my only thing was, Andy, I agree with what you're saying about, like, what do you treasure these friendships? Because he actually put in the DM, like, that he was like, or should I just let these relationships fall away?
And I feel like if they were really wastelands. Treasured. Yeah, to the wastelands. Okay? Which to me is a very specific, like,
it's a weird place to go for, like, a deep friendship.
Right. Exactly. Right. I feel like the language would have been a little more tortured. Like, I don't know. Should I stop? Like, should I just let them go to the Starbucks? Like, if you still cared about the person, you wouldn't, like, drop them off in the middle of a desert.
Yeah. The wastelands.
Yeah.
Well,
a beach on Fire Island.
I think my question, though, is, you know, I would need to talk to Patricia because, first of all, having a sex dream is not like the end of the world. No. And it's not something to be ashamed of. And so I think then the question is, like, what did Patricia tell Michael? Was she like, okay, he had a dream where you, like, was very detailed? Was it, or like, you know what I mean?
He
like,
wants to sex you up.
Exactly. TikTok, right. You don't stop, stop. Anyway.
Also, like, sex dreams are very rarely about just like, it's very rare that you would have a sex dream that is just about, I would like to have sex with this one person. Like, it's all much more complicated. It's about like, what does sex mean to you? And is it this person because it's this person, or does this person represent something else? And sex represents this. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe, I forget the other guy's name.
Patricia. Which one? Michael.
Michael. Maybe Michael. Represents like a type of life that Leo wants, and sex just represents in his subconscious attaining that or whatever. I'm not a dream analysis. This is my
dream. I'm saying, I like it.
It could mean something completely other than like I just want to like have sex with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, which is why I'm like, Patricia, I say leave Patricia by the wayside, have a conversation with Michael. Because I also refuse to believe that, like, in a world where, you know, relationships, like, lines blur, you know, like, when two people are single, or it's, like, two gay men, or it's, like, you're cute, I'm cute. Like, yeah, I think you're cute. Right? Right. Like, that's not crazy to think, you know, a friend of yours is attractive, you know? Right. All my friends are attractive.
And he was in a monogamous relationship at the time, but that doesn't mean
he's never... You never hit
you
on him either.
Yeah, exactly. You never hit on him.
Right. So
totally.
I mean, I would argue dreams are meaningless, period. That there isn't even anything deeper. That it's just your subconscious kind of fucking around bored while you're resting, right? That it's just like your brain is so big and just trying to like, ugh, I got 8 hours. If you're lucky.
Weird stuff.
Let's like crank up the Dolly and like really get it. Really get creative.
The Dolly dial?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crank
up that Dolly dial. To 11, baby.
You weren't having sex with Michael. You were just melting his clock.
See, Jeff, you're too hard on yourself. That's a great metaphor.
That's what you should start calling it.
Yeah.
Sex is called melting the clock.
I would love to melt his clock.
I'm gonna melt his clock.
On the F train.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but like, I would say it's totally meaningless. Dreams are totally meaningless. And maybe, like, you know, in therapy, you, like, talk about them to, like, bring things up. Like, I think therapists, like, talk about dreams when they're like, oh, this turkey ain't talking. And I got
this turkey ain't talking.
And I got a real, and I'm like, really.
And then we cut to, and it's a real turkey.
Was this a Far Side cartoon?
That's my thing. That's my level of humor.
Not a bad level of humor, honestly, Gary Larson. But like, but I think that therapists like bring it up to like see if it pulls anything out of you when you're talking, or maybe you're not being talkative. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I don't think dreams necessarily hold meaning. Mm-hmm. So I don't even I think like it's to me the deeper thing in this question is that he thinks Patricia betrayed his trust.
Right.
And I think that, and to me that. I don't even know if that requires a talk. That to me, if someone did that, I think you guys are right. Talk to Michael, if anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, cut Patricia's pan ass out of this thing.
Oh yeah, Patricia Pan, she's gotta go. Because Patty Pan is because
it's such a dumb... the waistline, not because you're Pan, but because you betrayed Leah's confidence.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like, well, in a way too. And maybe I shouldn't make this assumption. For someone who's pansexual, which I believe requires an openness to like your own wants and desires, what were you even doing talking about somebody's sex dream? That's so lame.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, of all the things to betray someone's trust, it's different if Patricia was like, hey, Leo said he really doesn't like you anymore, or you really hurt his feelings when blank. That kind of affects the dynamic in the friendship. Still shouldn't say it, but I see. But to just say, do you know he had a sex dream about you? It's like, ew, Patricia, what are you, in seventh grade? Get out of here.
I know. Of course, that said, we don't know any of these people, and it could be that my Leo is projecting onto poor Michael that he's being distant, and Patricia didn't say anything, and now she's in the wasteland.
Well, then...
But also, she might be an asshole.
Well, then I think that your guys' thoughts... are doubly important then. Have the talk with Michael. If Michael's being distant, then be like, hey, you know, a very simple, like, I don't know how you get into this.
Well, you've been friends with somebody for 6 years. If you listen to our podcast, you know how we are about talking. Just be like, Michael, it seems like you don't want to hang out no more. What's going on, friend?
Yeah.
See how he does.
Yeah, I guess so. Sorry, we were at a party, like, last week, and I just, like, boldly said to someone, I'm like, so what's the deal with your ex-husband? Not in a jerky way, but like the guy seemed like a real drip, and yeah, so
Andy said that.
I was, and I'm like, well, they're not, you know, they're not married anymore, so I can ask.
How did they respond?
They were very open. And
yeah,
nice.
They were open about it. Surprisingly, I was like, I was surprised that Andy would do that because he's never, not usually a person who'll do that. Like, because he's like, I don't want to offend or
did
bring
you, like,
up something
full
sensitive.
Do a spit take like when he said it.
I was just like. Because it's like, yeah, but it was, I get it, because it was like, you know, especially in LA when you run into someone where it's like, how are you? And usually they respond with their career accomplishments. And so I also did too, like Andy was trying to rewire the conversation. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I want to hear about what you're writing. What's the deal with that ex-husband?
Yeah.
And then it got fun.
It seems like a real trip.
So, smart. Yeah. Yeah, so go to Michael directly. And then
it's about honesty.
It's about honesty. And honesty.
Yeah.
One of couples therapy sponsors. It's not, but I just thought. Honesty.
It's about getting the honesty.
Wow, yes, getting that honesty.
Right.
Okay, we got to stop. We've lost our minds. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on Couples Therapy, showing us your shiny face, sharing.
Jeff, literally anytime.
Is it shiny? Is it shiny?
No, it's beautiful.
We're talking
light.
About it's emotionally shiny.
The light shining.
Okay, it is creatively vibrant.
Thank you.
We see the light of life shining out of you.
Well, good. I hope I could tell that both of you were dancing on top of the Empire State Building. So I hope I was not doing math on the F train. Oh. I'm loosened.
I've loosened my bottom.
My bottom.
Jeff, you were writing romantic poetry in our hearts.
Oh, that's so nice.
And you guys, we hope you were also writing romantic poetry. We will see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.